All right, so here's a new podcast. It's been like forever. Sorry for those people who actually pay attention to this show and have been wanting to hear a new one. I've been a little busy in my life. We just recently had a daughter, which is awesome, but also kind of limits what I'm able to do with this podcast. And, you know, it's just kind of tough to record these things without having a bunch of screaming and whatnot in the background. So I apologize if anybody's actually missing out on stuff. I'm going to try to get this thing going. This is going to be part one of my five-part series chronicling the albums that I've made so far. So hopefully if you listen to this podcast, you are familiar with my music. And if you're not, then you're going to hear some of it now. So I guess we'll start at the beginning. My first album, I released it in 1999. It was titled McLeod. The reason I called it McLeod is because, you know, I didn't actually really set out to make an album in the first place. I had started writing and recording around 95, 96. I was about 11 or 12 years old, and, you know, I had done a few things here and there, and then I started recording with my friend Joe DiStefano, who was on this show earlier, if you've been listening. And, you know, eventually I realized, hey, you know, I've got about enough songs here to make an album. So it was kind of a compilation of everything that I did from the time that I started writing music up until that point in 1999. You know, I put all these songs together and I said, man, what am I going to call this album? I don't even know. And, you know, as you may or may not be aware, I'm a big Beatles fan. And, you know, I came across one of Paul McCartney's albums, which was just titled McCartney. And it's a great album, much better than mine. And so I kind of took that idea and called my album McLeod. So if you didn't know that, now you know. It's a little behind the scenes tidbit for you. So I guess I'm going to play this album kind of in its entirety and comment on the songs as we go, and hopefully that'll give you a little bit of insight into what all has gone into this music this whole time and kind of bring you up to speed if you have never heard it before. I'm actually in the process of re-recording some of these songs because throughout the course of all of this, you know, I was kind of recording and producing and everything all on my own, and I am not a professional recording engineer by any means. So a big problem I've had the whole time is quality of recording. So I'm going to try to re-record about 10 or 12 of these songs in full studio quality so that I can kind of take all of this old stuff and put it to bed and just have like one kind of really good sounding record of my best stuff. And I've pretty well got the set or the track listing down to where I want it to be, but I figured, you know, if anybody has any suggestions on what they want to hear and they weren't too familiar with the songs, maybe this little series of podcasting could help you decide. So anyway, I guess we'll get started here. The first song on this album is called Standing in the Rain. It's the first song I ever wrote. I was 11 or 12 at the time. I, you know, just started playing guitar, and you know, it was all I wanted to do was just play guitar all day and all night. And you know, I just thought, wow, man, what if I wrote a song? And I came up with some music, I came up with some lyrics, and I said, wow, I've got a song. And then I wrote another one and another one. It just kind of snowballed into what it's become today. So this was the first one. It was with my band Jagged Edge that I was in with my sister, who used to play drums with me. And then not too long after we recorded our little three-song demo as Jagged Edge, another band came out named Jagged Edge, who were far more successful than we were. So I guess we kind of had to give that name up. Anyway, this song isn't really about anybody in particular. It's just, you know, I just wanted to write a song and kind of start it off, and this is what I came up with. So let's give it a listen here, see what we're dealing with. This particular song was recorded in Tyler, Texas, at my Uncle Gordon's house. We went out there to visit him, and I wanted to record. I just wanted to, you know, really start playing music, and he's a very talented musician, and he can play pretty much anything you could ever imagine. You know, he can sing, he can do everything, and I've always looked up to him as a person and as a musician my entire life. There's another little behind-the-scenes info. If you have ever been in possession of one of my records, you might notice that I made up a little label called GM Records, and that is sort of a tribute to him. Those are his initials, obviously. So if you are ever wondering what the GM stood for, it stands for Gordon McLeod. It's my little tribute to him because he kind of helped me get started. All right, anyway, I guess we should really start the song now. So let me give it a shot here. You can see what we're dealing with. Okay, so there you have it, the first song I ever wrote. And like I said, that was recorded in my uncle's house. I recorded that playing his Squire Stratocaster, which was the first electric guitar that I ever played, which is also a thing if you might may or may not have noticed about me, depending on how long you've been following along. But I kind of have a favoring of Fender instruments. That's where that comes from. And I was playing it through a gigantic Fender amp that I found in his house. The solo there, you know, I'm if you listen to my stuff, you probably know that I play all the instruments. The solo on that song, he actually showed me how to play it, you know, right before we did it. We did that solo in one take. You know, you could probably tell I was young. My voice hadn't really changed at the time. So this is, you know, this is really early stuff for me. My sister was playing the drums on that. We just had a little tiny, you know, digital set we got from JCPenney or something. You know, so she played the drums. I did the guitar. I did the vocals. I did the bass. And for that particular track, we actually just did bass notes on a regular guitar. And it was recorded on a four-track recorder. So, you know, this was really early on kind of stuff. But it was really, you know, one of the best times that I ever had. It was kind of surreal. Like, I'm making my own record, you know, I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I remember my uncle taking me and showing me, like, this is how you record, you know, help me mix this. What do you want it to sound like? You know, kind of just the basics of stuff. You know, I'm sure for him it was just, you know, kind of a novelty or something maybe. But for me it was a really great experience. Like, I was, you know, started me on a lifelong path, I guess, that I'm still on. So it was really good. All right, well, anyway, the next track on this album is called Hiding in the Shadows. And, you know, it's not, I don't, oh yeah, back to the first one. Obviously, like, it's not really about anyone or anything. I just wanted to write a song, so in case you were wondering. Second song is called Hiding in the Shadows. I actually wrote this song, you know, I mean, I think, you know, going back to, if you know a lot about me, you would probably know that Green Day is one of my favorite bands. And so, you know, that is one of the bands that I tried to emulate with my guitar playing style and whatnot. So that, you know, you can kind of hear the influence in the guitar on this one. The lyrics, I actually thought of the lyrics while I was on a school bus one day. It just sort of seemed like a lot of people, like, they're, like, afraid to be themselves because they're afraid that if they are themselves that they, you know, they won't fit in or people won't think they're cool, so they just kind of do what's expected of them or whatever so they'll fit in. And so that made me think they're kind of hiding in the shadows, afraid to be themselves. So that's kind of where that came from. This was also recorded during the sessions at my uncle's house. I believe this was about 1996 or so. So anyways, let's hear it. Here it goes. Yeah. All right. So there's that song. Another thing I thought I would mention on here is one of the lyrics of that song is "Hiding here in captivity." I kind of stole that from No Doubt, from the Just a Girl song. She says she's just a girl living in captivity. I thought that was pretty cool. So, and then another thing I thought of is, you know, a lot of times people say that my bass playing skills are sort of simplistic, and they are. I'm not claiming to be some prodigy bass player or anything. I kind of just do what I can to fill in the gaps in the sound where it would be if there wasn't a bass line. But anyway, you know, I kind of intentionally made simple bass lines because at the time, my family was listening to the Hell Freezes Over concert by the Eagles, and there's a song called Love Will Keep Us Alive, and the bass line of that song is really, really simple, but you don't really notice it as much, you know, and I wanted to try to emulate that, you know. I just thought at the time, like, this is how you play the bass, and I guess it just stuck. So I don't know, partly because I'm not that talented, and partly because I had that influence. So that's where my simplistic bass playing comes from. Okay, well, this next song is probably one of my better known songs. And it's called Visions of Regret. This seems to be the one that people like the most, or I've gotten the most positive feedback about. I wrote this song, I was, you know, about 11 years old. And I think this is the first song that I wrote that people were like, wow, this is, you know, they weren't just like, oh yeah, some kid messing around or whatever. They actually thought it was decent. So, you know, I mean, this was the second time I went out to visit my uncle in Texas. You know, he has a Celtic band called Beyond the Pale. So when we were recording this at his house, he has all these Celtic instruments. And I was like, well, what is this instrument here? And he says, well, that's a mandolin. I said, well, why don't you put some of that on there? And he's a very talented violin player. And I said, hey, can you put some violin on this? And he's like, yeah. So I think him playing the violin and the mandolin really helped that song to stand out a lot. And it made it sound a lot better than it would have if it was just me with the guitar, which was the original concept behind it. And somewhere, it actually probably doesn't exist, but there are a few versions I did in my own bedroom of this song. One of them even has drums in it. So, I mean, I certainly don't have a copy of it. If you do, that's certainly very rare, and if you do, give it to me, because I'd like to hear it again. It's crazy. Anyways, if you do listen to my music, you probably know this song, but let's listen to it again. Here it goes.
Never thought I'd see you leaving in that morning light. Never thought I'd see you go, but it's all unraveling in tonight. Never thought I'd see you walking down that old cracked road. Never thought I'd be so lonely, but I guess just had to go. And I said, why did you leave me standing here all on my own? I could have been somebody, but now I'm just alone. I know as I go through that, it's gonna be alright. So hard to live without you. I really thought I'd
Okay, now that song, that was done, like I said, the second trip we took out there, that would have been 98, so you could tell my voice had kind of changed then. It was the summer between 8th and 9th grade, so it was right before I went into high school. I was 14 years old, and, you know, still was playing music and wanting to record, and, you know, as you probably will notice, these songs that my uncle recorded actually sounded decent quality wise compared to the, you know, or what you will see compared to the ones that I did myself. Of course, some of these early ones don't do it justice because it's been transferred from a tape to a CD to an MP3 to all kinds of junk. So this isn't as good a quality as the original was, but anyways, that was recorded during that time period. This next one is also from that same session. This one is a song that's called Too Good to Be True. And I wrote this song. Well, I wrote a lot of songs about this particular person. She was kind of my first serious girlfriend. And, you know, at the time I was feeling like, you know, it was like, oh, wow, you know, I've got this relationship with this girl and everything's fine. But then she broke up with me and I just thought, you know, every time I see you, you seem like such a nice person. But then, you know, you always do something that like messes with my head. So, you know, you're just too good to be true. It's like an illusion. Anyways, I don't know. I'm probably going to get a lot of flack from some people for talking about some of these songs, but whatever, that's the point of the podcast. So anyways, here it is. This is track 4 from McLeod. It's called Too Good to Be True. Here it goes. So that song, like I said, it's right before high school started. you know, which kind of leads me to segue into these next sets of songs. You know, when my freshman year of high school, let's see, I'll never really forget this. It was, that, you know, they had a thing in math class where, like, if you, you know, you needed some extra help or something, you could come in early before class started or something and get help. And I'm not very good at math, so I was one of those people that had to go in early. And so as I was waiting outside of the door for the teacher to show up, I noticed another young gentleman waiting there. And he was wearing a shirt that said mono on it. And I knew what that was because, I mean, I just happened to know what it was. But, I mean, if I needed help figuring it out, on the sleeve of the shirt, it said the Beatles Anthology. And mono is a reference to when in the early days they used to record in mono instead of stereo. And, you know, as a lot of people who know me probably also know, the Beatles are one of my, I'm just going to say probably my favorite band of all time. I think they're the greatest band that ever was or ever will be. And, you know, some people agree with me, some people don't, you know, whatever. But I kind of came to that conclusion when I was kind of first starting out writing music, and I don't know, I just was listening to him and it clicked. Anyways, so I saw this guy and I was like, wow, he likes the Beatles. So we started talking, and it turns out he was also a musician, and he was, you know, we had a similar sense of humor. We just clicked right away. And his name is Joey DiStefano, and he was also on this show earlier. And, you know, I don't think either one of us knew it at the time, but, you know, we were about to become songwriting partners and, you know, kind of cut our teeth together, starting bands and whatnot. I think he'd been in a few bands before, but I think we kind of, you know, we started some of the good earlier stuff that we did together was great. So anyway, this next one it's called House of Mirrors. And, this is one of the first things that I recorded at his house. So this one features me on guitar and vocals, features Joe on the bass, which you can tell because it actually sounds like a bass player playing it and not just me, like, making some simple bass line up. And also Joe on the, we had like a keyboard that emulated drum sounds, so he was doing the drums on that. And we recorded it in his house. His dad, Big Pete, God rest his soul, man. Rest in peace, Big Pete. He was also a musician, and he had this big, giant reel-to-reel recorder. And so we used to go in this room and just record and experiment with music. It was amazing. So we recorded it on that thing. And, you know, another one of my favorite bands is Oasis. Really big fan of theirs. They're a big influence on me. So I think that's where this song came from, kind of like the way that Hiding in the Shadows was sort of my Green Day impression. I guess this was kind of my Oasis impression, subconsciously. I used to play guitar in my room every night. I had a room in my house. It was in the second story. It overlooked the street. And, you know, I used to play guitar and look out the window, and I could see people walking by and whatnot. And this is about that same girl. And it was kind of, you know, it was just on and off again. You know, she was one minute, it's, you know, she was all about everything. And the next minute, she was like, she didn't even know me. So this song was just kind of like, you know, you can say what you want, but, you know, we know what's going on. You know, you can act like you don't know me, but that's not the truth. And everybody knows it. Anyways, this is that song, House of Mirrors. And the way that I came up with the title for that song is I went to a party one night. All my friends were drinking and stuff. And, you know, another thing, if you know me, you know I don't drink and I don't do drugs or anything. So this kid had this big wall unit entertainment center thing. It was all mirrors and stuff, and the title just came from that. Anyways, here it is. Hope you like it. Let's listen to it now. Yeah, you can probably tell that I was kind of subconsciously channeling Oasis there. I think you can actually, if you listen closely, hear a slight hint of a British accent in the vocals. I don't know if maybe I was just trying to do that Liam Gallagher. I don't know what you would describe it as, just that kind of snotty British, you know, in your face, you know, rock frontman vocal. He does it a lot better than me, obviously. That's why he's an international rock star, and I'm recording this podcast in my apartment. But anyways, those were some fun times. You know, it brings back memories of just going in that room and, you know, plugging up some effects pedals and seeing what happens. I remember we used to use the Zoom 505 pedal, and we would just say, click through the effects and say, what kind of guitar sound do you want this time? Let's give this a shot, you know? And during this time, you know, all of these songs, as I said in the beginning, this first album is kind of a compilation of a bunch of stuff that I did. So some of these songs, you know, were recorded during sessions for, you know, other stuff. And, you know, during this time, Joe and I recorded another demo. We called ourselves We're a Band, because we couldn't think of another name for the band. We were like, what are we? And we're like, we're a band, dude. So that's where that came from. And neither one of us has this tape, but it's, you know, I don't know if it, maybe you just build it up in your head because you haven't heard it, but it was great. If anybody out there knows where that tape is, you've got to give it to us. We need to hear it. It's amazing. Anyways, let's see. The next song on this album is called Last Night. This was also recorded at Joe's house. This is me on the guitar and vocals. He's doing the drums and the bass, and or the drums on the keyboard and the bass. And then he actually did do some keyboards at the end, which just gives you an idea of how amazing of a musician Joey is. He's super talented. He can play all kinds of crazy stuff. I feel like I was super lucky to kind of meet up with him and get to create music with him. And hopefully someday in the future we can do that again, because that, you know, was some of the most fun times of my life. Anyway, this song's called Last Night. It's actually kind of about those same kind of parties that I used to go to, because this particular person that I was writing these songs about used to do some things at parties that she would regret later. And I just kind of wrote this song to say, like, don't be so hard on yourself. It's all right, you know, that just because you maybe messed up in the past doesn't mean that it has to dictate your future, kind of thing. So here it is. Let's give it a listen.
Run down your face at night, makes me feel so terrible. I know there's nothing I can do to make it right, knowing that's just something I can't handle. I know it's not your fault, all the things that happened while you were gone. I know it's not my fault.
Well, there it is. That's called Last Night. I'm not sure if I named who that person was earlier. I don't remember, which is pathetic because it was like a half an hour ago. But anyways, this next song is about a different girl who I ended up dating after the first one. And we had a little bit of a similar relationship in the beginning, where it seemed like everything was great, and then not too long after we started dating, she kind of gave me the boot, and I don't know, kind of messed with my emotions, I guess you could say. I don't know, I wrote this song about it, just kind of like everything was going good, and then, you know, what the hell did I do? Because I must have messed it up or something, I guess. This song is called Nightmare, so it's about a breakup. I guess that's really about it. Let's give it a listen and see what it's like. Everything is gone. Okay, well, you know, as you may have noticed in that song, I don't know if you can really tell because the quality is not the best, but there was real drums in that song, no bass. This was actually probably one of the first ones that I did completely on my own, where I was doing all of the instruments and the recording and producing, etc. And that, you know, I was just me playing guitar and then, you know, overdubbing drums to it later. And you know, I think I did that with, you know, just a microphone in my room playing. I had a 4-track recorder, and, you know, it's funny because you listen to it now and you're like, for what that is, it actually sounds okay. I kind of like it. It's just kind of raw punk rock, you know, rough around the edges, no apologies, just this is what it is, you know. And, you know, there's mistakes in it, and it is what it is, but it's, I don't know. I like looking back on that, some of the aspects of that time period in my life. And anyways, that's the song. So this next song is another song I recorded during the sessions at Joe's house. And, you know, at the same, you know, I've been trying to decide whether I should kind of name people or not, but this one would be kind of tough to be anonymous because her name is the title of the song. So this is about the same girl that the last song was about, and it's called Rachel. So she was my girlfriend at the time, and she was away, and I missed her, and I wrote a song about her, and, this was it. We recorded it at Joe's house, and I guess let's listen to it. Here it goes.
Thank you.
And that song, that was me playing the rhythm and the lead guitar with that solo there. Joe was playing the keyboard drums. I'm not sure if there's bass on that song or not. You know, looking back on it, I think that solo went on a little too long. Probably should have cut that off before I came back in with the vocals. But anyways, this next song is this is also kind of an infamous song for us. And this is just a magical experience we happened to catch on tape. This is Joe and I were kind of jamming out in my room on the drums. He was playing the drums. No, I was playing the drums. And he was playing a precision bass that we borrowed from the jazz band at school. And we had one microphone. And so he was, you know, singing in the microphone, and that was picking up the drums and the bass from the amps. And, you know, I mean, I think it sounds, for the way that it was recorded, it sounds okay. You know, like I said, some of these songs sound worse than they actually were because they've been transferred over to several different formats and whatnot, so that doesn't help with the quality or anything. But anyway, this song is called Ass, 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 and it's basically just us goofing off and having a good time. Here's another, you know, little fun tidbit about it. My other friend, Joe Onimus, you can hear him taking a drum lesson in the background of this song. And the way that happened was, he was just starting to take drum lessons, and the instructor made him record them on a tape. And so he brought the tape over to show me and left it there at my house. And, you know, the way that those tapes worked was, you know, there's four tracks on them, two tracks for each side. And, you know, if you put that into a four track recorder, you use all four of those tracks. So I didn't realize this, but we wanted my friend Joe DiStefano and I wanted to record this song or just record us jamming out. And, you know, I didn't realize that was his tape, and I just grabbed it and threw it in the recorder. And so it already had his lesson going on and then us kind of playing over it. So it's kind of funny. You know, if you had heard the song before and kind of wondered what that was in the background, that's what's going on. And also, here's another little secret about this song. My friend Angie called me on the phone during it. So you can kind of hear my mom come in the room and hand me the phone. And then you can hear Joe say, "Who was it?" And I was like, "It was Angie. Let's get back to the song." So little secret for you there, if you didn't know. Anyways, let's put it on. There we go.
If you want, bring in a blank tape. Just a tape. We'll make a recording and you go home and you can listen to it home, and then bring it back and keep using the same tape open and over. This way, if you're written down about anything, what are you going to put the tape on? And if you still don't understand, you let me know. Joe, say hello to Jose.
Thank you. children. What I thought about her ass. And then she said, why don't we do it in the? And then I said, with a smile, looking at her ass. And I said, let's go. Now I was staring at her. And then I told her I want to touch her. And then we went to the den. And I felt upon her. And then we lay down, smoked a little grass, and fell right back on her!
What was it?
Clip! 1, 2, 3, 4! I gave her to her in the evening. I said, she liked it! Well, I put it in her! I put a shampoo bottle in my... I shed my pills and showed pictures to my friends. I put my dick and balls between my legs so it touched my... And then I told her, we tried for a while, and I kept staring at her, and then the cops pulled me over, and said that's my daughter and she's only 2 years old. You can't fuck a 2 year old, coach, run! Or your ass will go to jail, and they'll hump your ass. Big it ass. Oh, baby, my ass. Oh, baby, my ass. Oh, baby, my ass. She touched my ass. Ass. My ass. My ass.
Okay, well, hopefully you enjoyed that song. That was awesome. If you were wondering who Coach Rock was, I guess this was recorded in 10th grade, so that was our biology teacher, and we had a unique relationship with him, so that's who that is. Anyway, that was a great time. It was a great time recording that song. We've done it a few other times, never recorded another version of it. We just kind of improvise it. If you couldn't tell, You know, once again, Joe DiStefano is on vocals and bass. I'm on drums and backup vocals. No guitar. You know, just one mic recording everything live. I think it came out pretty well, you know. And it's hilarious to listen to, if I do say so myself. I don't know, maybe I'm alone in that, but I get a kick out of that every time I hear it. Now originally, this album had 10 songs on it. The 10th song was a cover of the song Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell, which at the time I did not know it was by Joni Mitchell, because Green Day did an excerpt from it on their Live from the 10 Spot concert on MTV. And I didn't know who wrote the song or what the song even was. I just knew I liked the way that they did it. So I took that excerpt and put it on my record the way that they did it, because I liked the song, but also because I wanted to have 10 songs, because 9 songs just seemed kind of weird to have like an odd number of songs for your record. But then I got kind of nervous about it, and I thought, you know, oh, well, maybe at some point down the line I'll get in trouble because it's not my song or something. So I ended up taking it off the final record. There are probably a few copies of that record floating around with that extra bonus track, so if you've got one of those, it's a rarity. Not that it's worth anything, but you've got a special edition, I guess you could say. Well, anyways, I guess that pretty much does it for this part in the series. That kind of takes you through my whole first album, which, as I mentioned before, was kind of a compilation of stuff that I did. I hope that you enjoyed it. You know, I apologize again for taking so long in between episodes, but like I said, I've got, you know, I just had a new baby. I've got a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, I'm going to try to maybe do this a little more often, but, you know, just kind of bear with me. And, you know, if you actually are listening, and, you know, I really appreciate that, you know, keep listening, spread the word, you know, and I'm going to try to get these up more frequently for you. This is, you know, one of the things I can actually do creatively, because I'm not really in a position to go out and play live shows or anything. So, you know, it's not that hard to sit in my house and just record me talking about stuff. Well, at least in theory. Sometimes it's hard to find the time to do it, you know, where there's not kids running around screaming in the background and stuff. Tonight's one of those rare opportunities, so here it is. I'm going to try to get these other ones out there for you, too, get the rest of the series done, chronicling my albums, kind of leading up to this retrospective album that I'm doing, where I'm going to take 10 or 12 of these songs and just redo them in full studio quality. So if you hear something you like and you think it should be on that record, let me know. You know, we've got the Facebook page, Twitter, Twitter is at UnderTheRadarPC. I think that's what it is. I haven't used that Twitter in a long time. You know, Facebook, Under the Radar with Travis McLeod. You can search it. It'll come up. You know, if you want to just hit me up personally on Twitter, I'm at Travis McLeod. So, you know, if I was wrong about that podcast one, that's embarrassing. But at Travis McLeod, I'm sure of, is my Twitter. So, let me know, and, you know, spread the word, and hope you enjoyed it. And, you know, next episode is going to be my second album, Tales from Tourmaline. And that was the first album that I did completely on my own, played all the instruments, did all the vocals, did all the recording, all the mixing, mastering, et cetera, et cetera. So that should be an interesting listen for you. And, so we'll get to that next episode. And thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.